Right, well, if you do have a Bible, please open it up. If you don't worry. Just raise your hand and one of the stewards will come and bring one. And as you can see, we're talking about the grace of God. And in fact, we're doing a series, both mornings for the next 3 weeks and evenings, that are looking at some of the most kind of glorious facets or characteristics of God's character: His grace, His justice, His love, His faithfulness, His wisdom, His sovereignty. And what you going to realize is that we can hardly talk about one without touching on the others, because they're all interconnected. God's grace is His sovereign grace, His loving grace, His faithful grace. His wisdom is connected to His love. His justice is connected to His love. And all these things are connected, so that God is not, you know, gracious on Mondays, and on Tuesdays He's just, and on Wednesdays He's loving. And no, God is all those things all the time. And here's the thing. This is my prayer. This is why I just wanted to follow on from that song. Here's the thing. God's grace, God's love, God's justice, faithfulness, they are way, way bigger than you think, than I think. I know that because I know that God is always bigger than I imagine Him to be. I can't fathom how great He is. I can't fathom the greatness of His grace. But I know that in any given day, I can have my view of His grace expanded. So we're going to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, and that's found on page 1166. We're going to read of the grace of God. We're going to read of the grace of God that helps us in our weakness. And I don't know what you're facing today, but I know that this word we're about to read is true. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and he says this. Let's start at verse 7. We're going to focus on verse 9, but we'll just start at verse 7 so we get the context. So I hope you got a Bible, and I hope you found 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll start at verse 7. Paul writes, "To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations," he'd been talking about in the verses earlier, "there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And why don't we together, all out loud, read verse 9 that we're going to focus on. So it says this: "But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Father God, Your grace is amazing, as we've been singing. I believe it to be more amazing than I realize, or than any of us here realize. And so, Father, in Your grace, may You come and open our spiritual eyes some more, that we might realize the truth of these words, that Your grace really is sufficient, wonderful, amazing, whatever situation we're going through right now. So, Lord, come by Your Spirit, I would pray. Come and meet with us. Help me, help all of us. For we ask In the name of Jesus the Savior. Amen. Amen. Do you find yourself singing at times as you go through things in life? Maybe when it's a particularly beautiful day and it's glorious and the sun's shining. Or how about when it's not a good day? When it's raining, like yesterday. As the kids' song goes, not just when the sun is shining, but when the toast is burning and your homework's not working out. Your job situation seems uncertain. And you face challenges and even persecution from your boss or your friends. Do you find yourself singing in those situations? Do you have anything to sing about in those situations? Do you have anything to sing about today? You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, was one time in a prison cell with a friend of his called Silas. And he actually was there in this prison cell with his chains bound, and he found himself singing. In fact, hymns started breaking out from the prison cell. And I wonder if we were in the same situation, whether we would be singing. I hope so. But I know that Paul had come to realize that there was something always worth singing about. And I want us to get something so deep in our hearts today that we're going to realize that there's always something that you and I can sing about. And you know, some of the best songs have been written from the most challenging of situations. Last week, many of us were loving and enjoying the great gospel music that was sung by that choir that came over from New Hope Baptist Church in Atlanta. And you know, a lot of those gospel songs were written in the face of great adversity, great difficulty. But yet there was still something to sing about. And I've found that something is quite interesting amongst church people. Most church people I know, people who come along to church, call themselves Christians, people who are around the things of God, they're familiar with this word grace. Sometimes not completely sure everything what it means, and we'll go into that in a moment, but most are kind of have heard of it, sing about it, talk about it. But for some, it is the most wonderful, amazing thing they could talk about or sing about. They're just like full of it. And for others, if you were to talk to them, you'd kind of barely think it's a significant thing in their life. They know it's there, but it's, oh, it's the grace of God. Oh, David's doing a talk on the grace of God. Oh, that'll be interesting. I think I've heard that before, the grace of God. Sure, I've heard that one before. Whereas for John Newton, the guy who wrote that song, Amazing Grace, we'll hear a bit more about him later. John Newton, I think he would have been the kind of person who thought, wow, update next week, the grace of God. I'm going to be there for that one. That's going to be amazing. That will thrill my heart. And I hope by God's grace that there'll be something in this message that because God is revealing his grace to you, that you'll be one of those people who thinks, you know what? Maybe I'll write a song about grace as well. Maybe I'll start thinking and imagining the grace of God to be bigger. Maybe I'll talk to someone this week about this wonderful grace of God. You see, because I think God's grace is a bit like when I find myself walking down Lansdowne Place where I live. I live just two streets along, so you can imagine you're going down. It's one of these streets that's got kind of flats on either side, five stories up. And as you walk down, the sea at the end of the road gets bigger and bigger and bigger until you come out the bottom and you reach Hove Lawns. And it's all of a sudden you realize that it's not just that little bit of sea there, but the sea is massive. And I don't know if you've ever kind of left a harbor or port, and we've got a picture of the sea here right in front of us. But you know, I love the expanse of the sea. Anyone else love just being by the sea and just the expanse? Isn't it wonderful? Maybe you're a kind of mountains person. We've got another picture. Trevor, I think this is a mountain. Maybe you love just getting up high. I've never climbed to the top of mountains as high as that, but I love just getting on the top of hills and mountains, and you look out and see the space, vastness. Driving along the English countryside the other day. We've got another picture. It wasn't this. This is Norway. But it's just the space of it, the vastness of it. It was It wasn't this either, but this is England, I think. Next one, Trevor. Maybe not. There you go. Do you know where that is? Lake District. Just staggering space. You kind of get there and it does your soul good, doesn't it? Because you're just out there in the open. It's huge. That's just the Lake District. What about this? It's a bit bigger. Space. Get out. Been watching any of these programs about the astronauts. They get out of our atmosphere. They see the world, the earth. Start seeing the stars. I'm seeing John smiling because he loves the stars. Bigness. Vastness. You know what? God made all this. And he's bigger than it. And his grace is this. God's grace is his unmerited favor towards us. It's him giving us, the small people who, when we stand next to those mountains, look about this big. It's him giving us, because he loves us, him lavishing blessing, him lavishing his grace upon us. In fact, there's a little acronym that people learn in Sunday school often, and maybe some of you have been to Sunday school over the years and learned it, but I'm not presuming that people have, and I find things really useful to keep coming back to you like this, and it just says this. Grace, really, it could be described like this. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches. Now, do you think those are big or small? You know? God's riches are like vast. Like, you know, more, your Father in heaven is more wealthy than you could ever imagine. And God's riches come to us, and they're offered to sinners like me, like you, and people who mess up and don't deserve it. They're offered to us, not just free because they're cheap, but free because someone has paid dearly that they might be available to us. And that someone is Jesus Christ, who at great personal cost died on that cross so that the grace of God, the riches of God could be poured on Adam and Rosie and on Adam and Sue and on Tim and Adam and Annie and on me, and just poured out these. It's like almost the grace, the cross was like a something that pulled back the sort of the sluice of the tide of God's riches that just can now sweep into our lives. And so often we kind of just sort of ignore them or forget about them or go through our lives like that isn't there available for us. But what I want us to see this morning is that these are available for us all the time. They're available for us as we start out on the Christian life. In fact, grace is something we talk about often. And we're going to be talking towards the end of this service about God's grace being sufficient to save us from our sin and from the consequences of our sin. And that's a wonderful truth that we're going to be exploring just briefly at the end of our service. We preach about it often, and it's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. But you know, there's something that we also speak about often here, and that's that the way into the Christian faith is also the way on. Can you say that with me? The way in is the way on. One more time. The way in is the way on. The way in is through grace. The way on is by law and by trying your best and obeying all the rules. Is that right? No, that is rubbish. In fact, the next little book called Galatians is all about that in the Bible. No, the way in is through grace, and the way on is by grace. By the help and power of the Holy Spirit and him coming to be at work in our lives. And so we're going to look firstly, and this is really my only 2 points this morning. We're just going to look at how God's grace is sufficient to support us in our weakness. God's grace is sufficient to support us daily in our weakness. I don't know how you feel as terms coming towards an end, if you're a teacher, or if you're a mum or a dad, or don't know how you feel if work's just getting that bit cranky, don't know how you feel at the end of a weekend as you anticipate Monday. But I tell you what, I'm thrilled to know that God's grace is sufficient to support me in my weakness. So let's open up this passage together, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And what I want us to see here is a number of wonderful things about God's grace. I've just lost it momentarily, but it says this. It says, God speaks to Paul and says, my grace is sufficient for you. And he's speaking to him in a situation where he's actually been facing great difficulty and challenge. And he's been talking about this thorn in his flesh. And he's been talking about his weaknesses. And he's been talking a lot about that. In fact, the whole of the epistle, there's been a bit of a theme. There's these other people who seem to be all, you know, impressive and don't seem to have as many weaknesses as Paul. And Paul's been saying, I'm not ashamed to boast about my weaknesses. So here's the question. What are these weaknesses? What are the weaknesses that he's describing here in verse 9? Well, actually, the reason why it's good to read the context is the context can often help us in this. So look down at verse 10. This is what Paul goes on to say in verse 10. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. So I'm imagining that word weaknesses is very similar to what he means by insults, in hardships, in persecution, and difficulties. And the truth of the matter is, we won't know ever until we get to heaven specifically what is the thorn in the flesh that, you know, Paul was referring to, or what weaknesses he was referring to. But what we do know is he had a number of different trials and difficulties in his life. He at times had kind of physical ailments that seemed to trouble him. He at times often had kind of persecution and insults, and oftentimes he was imprisoned, and oftentimes there were people who were set against him time and time again and kept on being kind of in his face, giving him grief. So we don't quite know what these weaknesses are, but we do know they're these kinds of things. Hardships. Difficulties. I love them. They're such vague but yet broad words. Anyone ever faced a difficulty in their life? Can I just gauge how we're doing? Okay, we're real people. I think this is what Paul would want you to know. God's grace is sufficient for you in that difficulty, in that hardship, in that time where actually that hardship turns to something even more troubling, difficult, persecution. God's grace is sufficient. And I think there's something wonderful about how God can use these verses then, I think, to apply to our multiple different scenarios and situations. But one thing I think this word weakness isn't, is our sin. Because Paul talks about, doesn't he, in verse 9, he says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. And we're not to boast about our sin. And that doesn't seem to tally here. So this is about our kind of troubles, our everyday difficulties. Like I say, we know from the broad sweep of Scripture that the grace of God is sufficient to cover the sin in our lives and the consequence of our lives. But in this passage, particularly here, it seems to be talking about just the daily struggle of life, the daily battles that we face, the difficulties that come our way. And here's a question. Where do those things come from? What's the origin? Those difficulties, hardships, struggles. Well, look back in the passage with me here. Look at the bit beforehand, because I think this will help us as well. It says here, it says in verse 7 that there were this thorn in his flesh. And do you notice that little phrase? It's a very strange one. A messenger of Satan to torment me. So on the one hand, you can say that these problems that Paul had in his life, they were something that the enemy had brought into his life. And we know that the enemy is the father of lies. He's the one who deceives people, who leads people astray. And we do have an enemy. There is evil at work in our world. And many people's lives have been hurt by the evil in the lives of others. Many people, like Christians at the moment, I read in the paper just this last week, yesterday in fact, of Somali Christians who were beheaded for their faith by Muslims in Somalia. There's wickedness going on that is brought to bear on the lives of others. Where does it come from?
Well, we know our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the forces of evil in the spiritual realm. So you might then say, all right, that makes sense. Yeah, I can tell that there's a battle going on and many things in my life seem to be difficult, or people and things. And we mustn't get into a kind of thing, well, everything, you know, I stub my toe. That must be the enemy. But I'll tell you what, you wouldn't be stubbing your toe and hurting it if it wasn't for the fact that we lived in a fallen world. And that all comes back to the fact that the enemy has led people astray. So you might then say, well, it's all the enemy's work. But wait a minute. Is there anyone who's in control beyond that? Is our world just out of control in all these weaknesses and problems? And this passage, again, is wonderfully helpful. Because look what it says. Verse 7, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me. Who gave it? Well, there's a sense in this passage very clearly that this was God's work. He could have taken it away, but he chose not to because he had a purpose in it. And here's the wonderful thing I want you to see in our weaknesses is that God often, even though the enemy might be involved in some way, even though wicked men and women might be the cause of your difficulty or hardship, God is in control of all those things. Doesn't mean he says in a sense he wills them and wants them to happen, but he is not thrown by them. He, as we see in the first chapters of Job, Job is the one at work in destroying Job's life, but yet he's not out of control. God is in control. And this is a wonderful encouragement as we think about the difficulties in our lives, because it shows us that there can be a purpose in them. God can be working things out, because God is actually far more interested in our relationship with him and our dependence on him and our eternal future than he is in our temporary comfort and happiness. He's got our best interests at heart. He wants our long-term happiness and joy. But he knows that actually what will most damage that is our pride, our sin. So what he's looking to do in life is often to, even somehow amazingly, he's able to take the rebellion against him of the lives of others to help us grow in our faith and in our understanding of his grace. And so Paul here is wrestling. God, I know you're able. I know you can do amazing things. I know you can do miracles. Why don't you take this difficulty away? I was talking to my sister this week. Many of you know she sometimes has struggled with illnesses and not having much strength, and wonderfully she's expecting a baby at the moment, and she's had a kind of quite turbulent pregnancy, but as she comes into this kind of last trimester, it's actually got really hard again. You know, I said I was preaching on this passage, would you pray for me? And you know what she said? She said, I've been meditating on that passage this week, wrestling with God. God, you are able. Why don't you help me? And then her saying, but you know, this verse keeps coming back because I know he wants to help me, not just in having everything how I want it. He wants to help me in seeing his amazing grace. He wants to help me see my grace is sufficient. And you know what? She's saying, yes, it is. It is, David. And I don't know what you're going through right now, but I know that God doesn't waste the knocks in our life. And I know this, that he uses so often our weaknesses and our frailties to be things that shine for him to the lives of others, and also things that in our own lives help us understand the wonder of his grace daily. His grace has been sufficient in your life. It is sufficient. It will be sufficient. That doesn't mean life suddenly is easy, a piece of cake. In fact, John Piper, who I find so helpful reading, he's a pastor in Minneapolis, says this. He says, we live in a time where people want power to escape weakness in leisure. But Christianity offers power to endure weakness in love. God comes and says, in our weakness, he can work. In our weakness, his grace is sufficient. As I was thinking about this, I thought of a prop. I always get teased for using props. In fact, I'm taking my sister-in-law's wedding in a couple of weeks' time, and my brother-in-law-to-be, Joel, has told me I can use as many props as I like. You all know what this is? Do you know how a light bulb works? You know, the bit in the light bulb that actually gives off the light is one of the weakest bits. It's a very thin little filament. High resistance. Very frail. And when the great power of the electricity that's coming through our grid system and into the sockets and cables, when that comes to the weakness of that little filament, shines. And that's how it is with our weakness. We often use it, don't we, as an excuse. I know I've done. Part of my testimony would be, in terms of coming and doing this role, I kind of said to God, well, I can't do this, God. I'm not qualified. Don't feel able in my own strength. In fact, feel pretty unable. And God really ministered, spoke to me, I believe, and said, David, your inability is no limit to my ability. David, your inability is no limit to my ability. So I would look around this church and I would say, brothers and sisters in Christ, your inability, and it may like mine be great, is no limit to God's amazing ability. And that's grace. And his grace loves, it says, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I delight in these weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So, folks, don't hold back from serving God because you think, well, I've got my problems and difficulties. I'll do that when I've got life sorted. When I'm a brilliant Bible scholar and I've never made a mistake for the past month. You'll never get involved in serving God. But rather say, God, here I am. This is who I am. I believe you can work through me. I believe you want to use my weaknesses even for your glory. Believe that your grace is sufficient for all that you're asking me to do. And then just serve him as he leads and prompts you. And many in our church do this. There's not a church just, this is not a church just where one or two people are serving. Many in our church are serving and trusting that God in their weakness will work through them. And I want to say thank you to all those who are doing that and are serving in that way. I want to say thank you to all that's gone on in Wales this week. In a moment, we're just going to hear a bit of what's happened. And I want to say thank you to all those who said, you know what, I don't think I'm particularly brilliant and able, but I know I can just serve my community and do some gardening or paint some stuff. And so I'm going to get involved in Hope 09. And I want to say thank you to those who say, you know what, I'm not brilliant with words, but I think I can pray. So here you go, God, these are my prayers for this. And you get involved in praying. And don't let your weaknesses or your awareness of your weaknesses hold you back. And I want to speak particularly to men here. You might think, well, men, we're the strong ones. But you know what I find? It's often because men like to be the strong ones, and they're often aware that they're not so strong, particularly when it comes to maybe spiritual things as they'd like. They kind of hold back. Think, well, I won't pray. I might get the words wrong, and I'll look a fool. I won't share the gospel because I won't know quite how to do it. I won't actually sort of try and lead that thing because I might blow it. So the men hold back. And the women think, come on, guys, God's grace is sufficient. I'll do it. Men, God's grace is sufficient for you. Come on. Step forward. Trust that God can use your weaknesses, your struggles, your difficulties to be useful and glorious for him. I want to just hand over now to a couple of guys who God has used their weaknesses as they've just stepped forward in faith and used them far beyond which I think they'll ever know.
And one day they get to heaven and they'll discover things that just their simple service has done for the Lord. And that's Chris, who's been helping coordinate things for Wales, and Tim is coordinating things for Hope and I. I'm just wondering if Chris and Tim could just join me. Chris is just going to help us to kind of just pause and look back and just praise God for what he's done through weak people in Wales and who've trusted for God sufficient. And Tim's just going to kind of give us some thoughts of what the future and these next couple of weeks could look like for Hope and I. So Chris and then Tim, and then I'm just going to lead into the offering.
Good morning. Just wanted to say thank you. You're part of a great church. You're part of a church that has done great things in these last days and weeks. When we were in Wales last week, 35 of us went, and we had a really fantastic time. We had a time where we got to see in our weakness God's strength. We got to see a time where people's lives were changed for eternity. 8,000 people heard of Jesus for the first time, heard of Jesus last week because of the freedom that you gave us to go. And because of your prayers as we went, we were able to be effective in that. Over 300 people responded to a gospel call last week in the valleys of Wales. That's pretty cool, huh? And I just want to say thanks be to God for allowing us to be part of that and for using us to extend his kingdom in that way. But also thanks to you for going, for praying, for hosting our friends as we came back. Whatever part you played, you were part of something that God, did last week in the valleys of Wales. And you're appreciated, and thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Just to let you know, if you don't know, at the beginning of, not this week, next week, we're going to start a week called Hope 09. And the whole aim of this week is to share the love of Christ in word and in deed, in the things that we do. And if you've been around for the last few weeks, you'll know we've got some big projects ahead. And one of those projects is we've been asked by the headmaster of Davidor School to help clear the school completely in preparation for an expansion that they're doing. That's a huge task. And I just want to say thank you to everyone who's after I stood up here, signed up to help with that. We're going to be working with 30 teachers plus council staff during that time. It's a tremendous opportunity to be witnesses for him. We're going to be working at Summerhill School. We're going to be working at St. Paul's School in Brighton, working with children, doing murals. We're going to be up at Hangleton Community Centre, working in partnership with Oasis Church, seeking to transform some of their buildings. We're going to be doing events during the week. We're going to be doing a fun day. We're going to have a baptism service. We're going to have a community service. We're going to have choirs. There's going to be outreach on a seafront. There's going to be barbecues. There's going to be preachers. There's going to be all sorts of things, door-to-door work. There's going to be prayer. There's going to be hospitality. There's a huge amount of things we're doing. And we're doing them because we've experienced God's grace, haven't we? That's why we're doing it. That's why I love being part of this church. Because basically this church loves to serve. And just say thank you for the more than 130 people so far who are taking part in Hope 09. If that's you, that is wonderful. Thank you so much. There's still a chance to sign up. If you've already signed up, there's a letter for you available today that's going to tell you about what team you're on, what you're going to be doing. Some of those details may change because we need to be one of the key words on mission is flexibility. But I want to thank you for giving your time to serve. I believe it's going to make a tremendous difference. And my prayer is that many, many people won't just hear the name of Jesus, but will choose to serve the name of Jesus, as many of us here are doing. And another really exciting thing, it's been wonderful to go to Wales and serve over the last however many years it's been, 10 or so years. But you know what? Last year, for the first time, brothers and sisters from Wales came here to serve with us. And we have at least 22 people from Wales coming to join us, to partner, to do mission here. And so if you're taking part in that week, you're going to be serving alongside people that we've been serving with for years in Wales. And it was wonderful last year. And there's a, like I said, there's a big team coming this year. If you can help with hosting them, that would be a blessing. Do see Chris, who was standing here a minute ago. But thank you, and be praying for this week that's coming up. And grab a T-shirt if you're taking part. They're £5. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim. Let's thank these guys for all the work they're putting into stuff. You know, when we've truly received God's grace, it starts to transform our lives. When you're in your weakness and you truly receive the sense of God's grace being sufficient, then it doesn't mean you start complaining about your weaknesses. No, you start rejoicing that God's able to work through them. You start thinking, well, God, you can shine through me. You can give me strength for what you're asking me to do. And one of the wonderful things I love about this church is that there are people who have troubles and difficulties. You know, sometimes people think, well, this is a church where no one has any difficulties. Definitely, I know this church, people have big challenges and difficulties. But you'd be amazed how they keep serving and reaching out and loving and praying, rejoicing and singing. And I want to thank you for those who put together the Fellowship magazine week by week. You know, it's month by month. This is an amazing thing. And often, even with difficulties and challenges, work goes on to put this together. You know, there's a team of folks who just compile, you know, sort of compile it after it's printed, isn't there? And that's a great work. And again, it's not rocket science, but people just come and serve in different ways. You know, there's people who put together different articles. I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for Dick and all the work you do as our treasurer, Dick, and you know, the team you have who help count. And I want to draw your attention to our giving, which is always published in there. And just say, you know, one of the ways we, as we've received God's grace and his riches in our lives and his sufficiency, one of the ways we trust is that then we can keep giving. And we're not hitting our budget at the moment as a church. It's there in the figures. Want you to know that. So I want to encourage you, guys, as we receive God's grace and his blessing and all that, let's keep saying, God, what do you want me to give? I've got a little verse for us on giving. Just simply says this. It's turn the page before in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're just about to take up our offering. It says this, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's always what we say in this church. Give what God's put on your heart to give, and then give it cheerfully, generously. So we're gonna get the band back up. We're going to take up our offering. Then I'm just going to come at the end and just close with just that first point about God's power to save. So the band can come up. I think we're going to sing The Grace of God Upon My Life. And we're going to take up the offering during this. Let's do it cheerfully as under the Lord. We're going to sing a song about God's grace not being dependent on us. You know, God's grace isn't dependent on how much you give in your offering. It does not dependent on whether you serve or not. It's it's just undeserved. God's grace and favor on our church is not because we've done great things in Wales. He just pours it out. So we're going to sing this song, The Grace of God Upon My Life. It's not dependent upon me. And we're going to sing it about me first, not me as in, but us, personalize it. And then we're going to say about our church after that. So let's stand together as the offering's taken up, and we'll sing. Father, we're in a church where we know there have been difficulties that people have faced. Lord, we know there will be difficulties. Probably, Lord, greater difficulties in the years ahead than maybe even we expect. But Jesus, we want to recognize right now that for many in our congregation, there are difficulties today. Situations where they need to know today that your grace is sufficient. So we would ask, mighty God, minister to them the abundance of your grace. I've got a verse for you guys who've got your hands out. It's a verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, where it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. May they know of your abounding grace, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Why don't we all take our seats? And please keep praying for one another in the fellowship. We need each other's help and support. And I'm just going to invite Andy Clark as we kind of transition just briefly into this last thing I want to say. And it'll be much shorter, this part. I'm going to invite Andy Clark to come up because Andy is, again, a weak vessel, believes in God's grace and that it's sufficient. And in fact, God used Andy wonderfully in Wales to work in old folks for retirement homes. And he's been using Andy here. And Andy's just got a testimony that kind of ties in now to as we talk about the grace of God to save in people's lives. But I wonder if maybe you could just share.
Good morning. Our lives are so much about the glory of God. And I'm so, I don't know what the word is really, but I think the more I learn about this every day, the more the blessing it is to myself. And been going to a retirement home in Hove for just over 3 years now, accompanied by Dave Gunnell and Max. And it's just something that we wouldn't miss for the world. You know, I really love it so much. And the second to last time we actually went there, it's about 6 weeks ago now, I guess, we've been doing something different this year. I had an idea to have guest speakers come in rather than them keep hearing our voice, you know. And I had the guest speaker, Vochi. Thank you very much. Great speaker. And before she started talking, we just arrived and I had it on my heart to talk about the fact that God heals today. And I kind of thought, this is a bit bizarre. I thought, I've got a guest speaker and I'm trying to hijack the talk in a way. But I just was led by the Holy Spirit. And I was sharing a testimony of someone I'd heard who had healed a man outside British Home Stores, Western Road, who'd had a problem with his leg for many years. And he gave his life to the Lord Jesus a few months ago. And as I was talking about this, a wasp flew into the retirement home and stung one of the ladies. And immediately that I prayed, saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, we ask for healing in your name." And I didn't know this, but the lady told us afterwards that the pain was going right up her arm. She was in quite a lot of discomfort. And when we prayed, immediately the pain had gone. Praise God. And that same service, the end of it, there was a new face there. I'd only seen her twice. And she came up to us and she said, "I just lost my husband to Alzheimer's. And I just felt like giving up in life. Just life was a bottomless pit." And she said, "But now I think I've got a future." And that we led her to Christ. Said a prayer of commitment with her. So not a month goes by and we see Jesus working in someone's retirement home. So just want to say to you that whatever that you're doing it, do it with the grace of God for his glory.
Thanks, Andy. You know, one of the wonderful things about God's grace is it's sufficient to support us in our weakness as we trust him and as we live our lives. But for that lady, quite senior in years, and for many here in this room, we have discovered the most wonderful truth as well, that God's grace is sufficient to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sins. Maybe we could just have that point back up again, Trevor, that the grace of God is sufficient to save us from our sins and the consequences of our sins. In fact, one of the wonderful verses in the Bible that many learnt, many in fact through a lady who's now gone to glory, Mary Cruikshank, got people memorizing this, "For it is by grace you have been saved." In fact, we learned it as a church, didn't we, a while back? Do you remember it? "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." God's grace in saving us is not a small thing. And as I was thinking about this, I thought we'll never fully understand how amazing is God's grace unless we actually realize how much trouble we were in, how deep we were sinking on our own. And how wonderfully holy and just and pure is God. And Tim's going to be speaking about the justice of God. I said these themes all interwoven tonight. If you want to get your vision of God's grace expanded, you can come along tonight and hear about the justice of God. That will make you realize how wonderful is God's grace to save. But it was just a little picture that came to mind that might help you. I was thinking about painting. I don't know if you've ever tried to do any painting. And I think often when you're painting your own home, you know, most of it you can kind of do yourself, can't you? The walls, you know, most of the, you know, the low ceilings. There's often, I don't know if you find this, there's often a tricky bit. Do you find there's often a tricky bit? Well, you've got to kind of, you've got to climb on the sofa, or you've got to get someone who's got a step ladder, or I usually kind of say, oh, you know, John Miles or Did or someone, can you come and help me? Because, you know, it's, you know, sometimes things like that, they're just a bit out of your reach. I think many of us, when we're thinking about God's grace to save us, we kind of think it's a bit like that. You know, mostly our good deeds can make up for most of our rubbish in our lives, and we can kind of paint over it. There's usually one or two things where we're just conscious, yeah, no, that definitely needs God's grace. So thank you, God, for your grace. That just got those little corners that I couldn't reach. Thank you, Lord. Brilliant. That is not what God's grace to save us is like. I was at a wedding yesterday in Ealing Abbey. It's a massive, massive building. You stand there. I was doing the talk, and I'm about this big compared to these kind of huge arches. And I was thinking about this and thinking, man, it's like trying to paint Ealing Abbey with one of my daughter's little paintbrushes. That's what my good deeds are. I can't do it. You cannot save yourself anywhere close to it. God's holiness is so holy. Our sin, I spoke on the gospel reading that I was given was, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And I told them, I said, that's a great goal for marriage, great goal for living life. But I said, fortunately, I not kept it. I not kept the first, don't always love my wife as I should. And that doesn't even touch the you know, not love the loving your neighbor bit. That's not even the loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Friends, we are so far below God's standard of perfection. And even the most wonderful thing you did last week was probably mixed in with a little bit of pride and a bit of, you know, kind of, hey, David did a brilliant job. So probably kind of counterbalanced any goodness in it. We are in such desperate need of God's grace. And he comes and he says, tell you what, drop the paintbrush. I'll paint the whole thing. And he does it wonderfully. God's grace to save is available for any and everyone. The people in the nursing homes, in the schools, the people you work with. Any here today, you haven't come to realize that you don't need to earn your way to heaven. In fact, you cannot earn your way to heaven. You must receive God's grace. You know, Amazing Grace, that song was written by John Newton, who in fact was a slave trader. He was one who used to transport ships. And in a film that I just want to end with a clip from called Amazing Grace, that talks about William Wilberforce and the battle to get the abolition of slavery. In this film, and in reality, John Newton knew William Wilberforce. And there's this little scene where William Wilberforce has come to visit John Newton, who's now an old man, and he'd in many ways been a broken man. He'd wrote the song Amazing Grace, and his grace has transformed him to be someone who wanted to help. Because remember, when you receive grace, and God's grace, you know, that we receive doesn't mean, like, it doesn't matter, we can keep sinning. No, it transforms us so we don't want to sin. We want to become part of the solution, not part of the problem. And God's grace came to John Newton and touched his life, and here he is, and we're going to meet him just a minute or so of this little clip as they talk, and you'll see how God's life has touched this man.
Liebe.
They only told me your sight was fading.
Well, now it's faded altogether. I never did things by halves. God decided I'd seen enough.
So it's true.
What's true?
Writing your account.
I wish I could see your face. How are you looking?
Same.
Still too thin.
A little fatter lately.
Oh, she feeds you well then, this wife of yours?
She's given me an appetite.
An appetite to change things? This is my confession. You must use it. Names, ship's records, ports, people. Everything I remember is in here. Although my memory is fading, I remember two things very clearly. I'm a great sinner and Christ is a great savior. You must...
An old man whose memory's failing. Man who wrote Amazing Grace, who trafficked, before he was a Christian, thousands and thousands of slaves. Remembers two things. Very clearly. That he is a great sinner. But that God is a great, great Savior. I haven't trafficked thousands of slaves. But I know, compared to God's holiness, I'm a great sinner. I share a church with great sinners. But know this as we end this talk on God's grace this morning. God is a great, great Savior. And he, by his grace, if you will receive it, is able to save you for eternal life with him in heaven. He is able to transform your life. So as in the words of John Newton, who said this, got to find it now. This is God's grace in my weakness with my messy notes. It's on the bit of paper I haven't got. He said, something like, I'm not all that I could be. I'm not all that I hope to be. But I thank God I'm not what I was. And as you receive God's grace, let him change you. You won't become perfect. None of us are yet. When we get to heaven, that's when we'll be perfect. But let his grace change you so you become more like him. That's what it is to receive grace. When you truly receive grace, you're truly changed. So in this moment, as we just end before we sing our final hymn, I want to invite any who've not sure that they're going to get to heaven. They're basically trusting in their own good efforts. You might not be trusting in anything. You just don't think you're going to get there. And I want as you end, I want to lead you in a prayer where you can receive God's grace and say, God, have mercy on me. So should we just bow our heads, everyone? And if this is you, I just don't want you to be here and not have that opportunity. And you can just receive God's grace very simply. You might even just want to put your hands out in front of you again, like I was saying to the folks before. But this time, not to help you in your weakness, but to cover over your sin. Just place your hands in front of you and repeat these words just in your heart after me. Say, Holy God, I'm sorry for how I've sinned. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for Jesus' death for me. I pray that your grace would transform me so that I might live for him. Thank you. Please come into my life. Amen.